Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, beautiful listeners. I'm so glad that you're joining me for Love Your Addiction. I'm Jude Albright, your host, and my intention is to bring awareness that everything on this planet has a life, and that means addictions have a life of their own, too. What if addiction is not about what you do, but rather about what you are refusing to be, what you are denying yourself? Love Your Addiction provides a dialogue between you, the listener, and me, Jude Albright, your host. Its purpose is to expose truths so that you can see, hear, and feel how to love your addiction for what it has shown you about you. And I welcome you here today to see love in a very different light. I'm here to help you recover from the belief that there's something wrong with you, that your addiction has been bad. I'm also wondering, how much of your life have you spent thinking about your wrongness? You know, when you love something and appreciate it, you bring gratitude into your life. And when you're grateful, you become more loving. So when you accept your addiction and give it love, you are so much better able to see what it has been trying to show you about you. With loving comes acceptance of yourself and what you've been through. And here's an awareness for you. Love never, ever hurts. The hurt is your fear that's coming up. So please forget what our movies and songs program you to feel about love. Today we are going to be looking at what does it mean to be in service. Often we confuse being in service and being codependent. And in light of the Stoneman Douglas shootings last week, we are going to be exploring those differences. We talked about codependency on our last show, so this is sort of a continuation. I ask you, what if those who were killed at the high school were doing humanity a service? Sounds crazy, doesn't it? It certainly is a different way of looking at this tragedy, and in no way diminishes the grief of the families and the communities who just experienced this tragedy. So please join me in the chat room, which you can access at the bottom of your listening page, or call in at 516-453-9181 with your insights. 516-453-9181. We're all in this together. And I'm sure that each of you desires peace, joy, love, and abundance in your life. So let's get each other there. I'm not out to try to change anyone. Only you can change you. I am simply the messenger of truths for you, which bring you new possibilities for a life of ease, joy, and fulfillment. Let's start out by looking at what service or to be in service really means. And I'm going to read a poem from the book called Manifesting Meaningful Moments. And this was written by Philip Elton Collins. Service. What does it mean to be in true service to another? What we think is service to all may not be service at all. What many people consider service is mostly loss of self in others. The act of satisfying and gratifying the limitations of self is not service. This is the denigration of spirit and a dramatic demonstration of our lack and limitation. The first and true service of anyone is the love and support of the God force within you, the great master servant of self and teacher of everyone. During our service to another, if we hold our attention other than on the inner source and the force within, we shall never win. We shall move from servant to slave. For when we possess this inner force, we can fully serve another through having served self first. For true service can only come by embracing the master within that allows us to balance giving and receiving out and in. Let us be aware that our service to others is not an excuse to strut our stuff in the presence of others. I think that poem is totally explicit in what service is. And I also believe that each one of us, each one of our souls, before we came to this planet, made the decision that we would serve a purpose. And in serving that purpose, we would be in service to ourselves and to others. So let's look at the difference between codependency and service. And there are so many in the recovery field who really don't understand codependency. And as I said at the beginning of the show, we went into full detail during our last session. So for a recap, codependency has six factors. Number one, caretaking, taking care of another. Number two, the codependent has low self-worth. And because of that low self-worth, the codependent needs to control, needs to feel in charge because his or her own life feels so out of charge. The fourth attribute is denial. The codependent would definitely deny that he or she has these factors that I'm talking about. And codependency is a dependency. It is an addiction in and of itself, where the last factor is very, very obvious, and that is poor communication. Now, that is a far cry from being in service, because when we are in service, we really have compassion. And compassion is caring for ourselves and reflecting it out to others, to places, to things, to our planet, to Mother Earth. It's a frequency of energy that creates wondrous vibrations in the matrix of our reality. So, as I said, each of us has a soul plan that involves being in service. Now, let's look at how this possibly could relate to the shootings that occurred at Stoneman Douglas. First of all, I would like to say, who are we to judge another person? We have no idea what that person's past is, what has happened to that person when he or she was a child, and we have no idea what their soul plan is. When I turned the TV on to watch what was happening in Parkland at Stoneman Douglas, the first thing I did was cry. I was very surprised that I started crying. And one of the reasons that I was crying for this planet and for what is going on and for the fact that so many people believe in the AA statement, no pain, no gain. What would this world be like if we could have lots of gain and not have to go through the pain? Well, there certainly was pain on the day that we had the shootings at Stoneman Douglas. Another reason that I was so touched is that I know teachers who teach at that school, and I myself taught in a neighboring community. Therefore, it became much more personal to me than it would be to those of you who live outside of the area of Southern Florida. So, yes, there was sadness. There is sadness, and that sadness continues with the loss of life. And it is very typical of a human being to feel sad when they lose somebody, to feel sad when somebody terrorizes your community or your school. We've been taught, however, that it's really not good to stay sad, and I am going to say staying in your sadness for many, many years and recalling a sad incident will just create more of the sadness. I am also saying those of you who experienced this on a personal level or on a community level or on a teaching level, allow the sadness. Allow it to work through you. If it takes you a week, so be it. If it takes you a month, so be it. If it takes you a year, so be it. There is no rush on this. Allow yourself to feel those feelings. And please know that no one, no child or adult that died as a result of the shootings died as a punishment. I have to laugh when I think that some religions actually teach us of an angry God and that we might be punished because of any number of reasons. That is absolute crap. So get rid of that belief if that belief is in you. I'm going to ask you to look at things a little differently. What if all of those children that died and those two adults that died were the real heroes? What if we thanked them for giving up their lives because it got us pissed off enough that maybe now things are going to change? Maybe not. Hopefully they will. And this occurred in a community that I know to be very affluent, with parents and adults who are opinionated, who are movers and shakers, and I know are going to do something. I don't know what that something is, that is going to help change this place for the better. We have been involved in school shootings now for, I'm going to say 10 years, it might be a little longer, and they're still going on. Is it about the guns? Perhaps. Or is it really about people and their belief systems? And what they're willing to do, and if they're willing to stick their necks out, and if they're willing to make change. And that willingness usually comes from childhood roles. And we talked about this before, but when a child grows up in a less than functional family or a dysfunctional family, and many of us have grown up in that way, we grow up wanting to be loved, feeling unloved, feeling unimportant, feeling less than. What if the shooter, because we know that he was adopted, grew up as a child believing, well, what good am I? Nobody loves me. Even my parents gave me up. And then when his adopted parents died, thinking, now what? Now who do I have? At least I had somebody to help me through my life. Now I have nothing. Now, am I saying that we need to let the shooter go simply because he had a crappy childhood? No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that it's about time that we as a community, as humanity, need to start looking at how our childhood roles have played out in our life. And if we do something like that, and we can change those beliefs, because a belief is learned, and a belief is not necessarily true. At one time, people believed that the earth was flat and you could go so far and fall off. Well, that was a belief. And when it was proved to be wrong, then people changed that belief into a knowing that the earth is round. So I'm asking you, what is stopping you from looking at things differently? I know that those of you who are teachers are looking at education and the way it's set up now very differently. I know you're sad, I know you're angry, and as a former teacher, I too have wondered how things are going to change in the schools, and they need to, and hopefully this is going to make a difference. And parents, what about you? I can't imagine the grief that you are going through at the loss of your child. Please look at that loss and look at that child having given his or her life as being a hero in your life, because that's really what he or she is. He or she has been in service to us. I'm going to say that again. The children who died and the two adults who died at Stoneman Douglas have been in service to us, because finally and hopefully enough people are pissed off where we're going to change education, where we're going to change our own parenting, where kids who are totally upset at what happened and grieving are going to be the ones who are going to grow up to make the biggest changes. And the administrators, looking at what this has done to schools, maybe you're going to have the insight to change things. And then, of course, there's law enforcement. Law enforcement from around the county showed up at Stoneman Douglas. It was incredible to watch on television, as you saw the Broward Sheriff's Office, you saw the Coral Springs Police Department, Parkland Police, Coconut Creek Police, Fort Lauderdale Police, police systems from 30, 40 miles away showed up to assist and lend their help. So I hope that you can see that there is a huge difference between being of service and being codependent. We actually have a term called community service, that many of our courts use, many of our school systems use. And what community service is, it's a way to help others. It's a way to improve our community. So I'm wondering, those of you who have really been touched by this tragedy, how are you going to be of service now to education, to other parents, to kids, to law enforcement, and to government? What is it that you can do that you are now willing to do that doesn't have to create pain and strife? We are so used to living with pain and struggle and strife. What if it's now time to simply make changes by helping to change belief systems, whether you put it in a blog form, whether you put it on a radio show, whether you go out in public and in speech presentations, talk about this. Things need to change. We need to look at things differently, and we need to thank the children and the adults who gave up their lives so that we might look at things differently and actually take back this country. We have allowed such chaos in government, in schools, in churches. When we take back through power, it doesn't have to be force, there doesn't have to be bloodshed, but through power, when we take back our power, this planet is going to change. I have said this before. What if all the young men and women, in the morning that they were supposed to report for active duty, stayed in bed and made love, refusing to go out and hurt somebody else? You know what? If enough people decided to do this, change would happen. Absolutely would happen. When I was teaching in the Florida school system, we had an exam called the FCAT, which was a Florida-based exam that was ridiculous and so stressful, not only for teachers and children, but for parents. And I remember telling my students, stop complaining. Do something about it. If enough of your parents kept you home and enough of you didn't show up for FCAT, they would have to change it. Now, that isn't exactly what happened, but they did change it, and it no longer exists. Look at cigarette smoking and how many years ago, I don't know exactly how many years it would be, but you'd go into a restaurant and there would be a smoking section and there would be a non-smoking section. And look what the advocates of stopping smoking in public places have done. Today, it doesn't exist. You don't have smoking in restaurants. So I'm going to ask you once more, what if being addicted is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be? Are you refusing to be of service? What can you now be to create a healthy, loving lifestyle for yourself and for any addict that you love? And you can find out more answers, and you can reach me, Jude Albright, at beingrecovered.net, bingrecovered.net. Or you can go on Facebook and facebook.com/loveyouraddiction. I would love your feedback. What is truth? The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us. The taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us. And the feeling of truth warmly embraces us. Please remind yourself to stay wrapped in your truth and love, remembering the true, magnificent, powerful, beautiful you. Be thankful for you and your service and all that you do for this planet. Thank you for making the world a better place with you in it. And I send compassion to those of you who lost children, who feel unsafe now in schools, who are afraid to go anywhere in your community, who think that terror is going to reign. I send you all the love and compassion that you need to change that belief system and know that you are the power. You have the power. Live with your power. Live with your empathy. Live with your sadness if you need to. Make changes. And by all means, stay beautiful. I know.